Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, you guys.
Hey. Very good, sir. How are you today?
Wonderful, wonderful. So, we had a kind of a crazy week, of course, and it's hard to concentrate when the markets are so crazy. I hope you had a good week, and how was your progress, and what's on your mind?
Yeah, it's a pretty good week, actually. Also want to introduce you to our intern in the room, also with us, Bruce. And so he's going to be helping us with all of the things that we've talked about up to this point, and he's excited to get going.
Great. Welcome, Bruce. Thank you. Very good.
We also had a very nice meeting with our Segor and Cindy, and she was just so informative, and boy, I tell you, she knows that the schedule system extremely well, doesn't she?
Great. Thank you. That's great to hear.
We're getting started. It's done enough yet on the scheduling part that we're getting started.
Well, you first have to understand it, right? You have to learn it, and you have to understand the folders, and then start building them, calling clients, scheduling appointments, and then it goes pretty fast. Once you get up and running, you get a kind of a process for doing it, and when you have a team, you know, then everybody has to. There's a lot of different, let's spend a minute talking about that. Have you guys talked about the team and when you're going to travel, when you're going to be there, when you're, you know, how do you cover for each other and all that? Have you spent some time on that?
Yeah, about 5 minutes before a call. So yeah, we did talk about it a little bit. You know, one of the things that we were discussing was that we shouldn't overlap and always be available for each other's calls. I don't know what your thought was on that, but...
Well, as long as... Look, there's a productivity component, and there's a... You know, this balance in your life component, there's team continuity, leverage. You know, especially in the beginning, you may not want to. You may want to keep it not overlapping. And then as you get more comfortable and clients get less used to seeing you as a group, then you can start to fill in those gaps.
Okay.
Okay, so I kind of agree with you in the beginning. To give yourself, because that's one of the things you're concerned about, so I would just go ahead and not dump, you know, basically book at the same time your partners are booking. So it's going to limit the number of slots you have available, that's all.
Right, okay.
So you're going to have to do some thinking as you do this, and it may not, you know, it may not be, you may actually have to double book, you know, in terms of overlapping, but in the end. But in the beginning, no, I think you can avoid that.
Okay.
Any thoughts on terms of, we spent some time on travel and things like that. Any thoughts on that? Is that going to work fine for you guys?
I think so, because the majority of our clients are in Florida anyway. We were just looking at our list, and you know, we do have some in California, but and up in the Northeast, but 80% are in Florida, are all around us.
Right. You kind of wait for them to come here, right? And
yeah.
if you got the snowbirds, when you're trying to make your two meetings a year, you know, just make them in October and then. May or June, you know, May, probably.
Right.
So as soon as they come down, and then it's just before they're leaving.
Yeah, so I don't think travel is a big deal for us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice. That's a big advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any other any other issues that we covered in previous calls?
Well, I one of the things I've been thinking about today is about the ideal schedule, and I know what you do personally. I mean, you're doing every hour, right? I mean, is that a realistic way to schedule, or do you space them out more than that?
No, every hour works for me because I can keep it, you know, these are all 30-minute appointments. You know, we usually go over, and I give you a little extra time, but if you got to run at the end of 30 minutes and I got to run, then it works fine. I get a little break in between.
Yeah.
Some of the calls, literally, I'll go right up till 5 minutes before the other call. So I'm, you know, it's on 6 calls typically a day, every hour. If I, you know, literally, I've got a choice, right? If I want, I could work more days, but in my schedule, a day off means an awful lot to me, right? So I don't want to book one appointment in a day just so I don't have them every hour. So I'd rather take six on a day and have the other day off so I can go fishing or play golf or something, you know.
Right. Okay.
So it's just life, you know, for me, it's you know, it's 90% lifestyle. You know, this stage of my life. For you guys, it's, you know, it's probably 70% work, 30% lifestyle.
What do you do when you have a vacation? When Mrs. Neff says we're going to go and take a week off and go and visit wherever, does somebody else then pick up your call?
Well, it's a good question. Sometimes, but they're not that excited about picking up my call. So sometimes we bump them forward a week and give you guys a week off. Or we, or I do them when I'm on the road. So, you know, I'm going to make some business trips and I'm going up to the NCAA tennis tournament in Winston-Salem. So I'll bring my folders with me and make my calls on the road. I just, you know, for example, I did one in the hotel before we left for the airport when I was up at Winston-Salem for a board meeting, and went early to the airport, found a spot, and made 3 phone calls there, and then made 1 phone call when I landed, you know. So you just work around it. And that's the nice thing about taking the folders with you. You've got them there. You don't have to pull your computer out. You got your notes right there. So it works pretty well.
Okay. We started talking last week about the 5-star model.
Right.
And, we kind of broke out our, you know, different roles, but I think we need to talk about that a little bit more because I'm not 100% clear on that.
Sure. What are your questions?
Well, I mean, here's how we broke it out. Like, Kelly would be in charge of brand, and Patty would be planning and marketing.
Yep.
And Mark was implementation and leadership. So, but do some of these, like, do they overlap, or, I mean, how do we...
Okay, planning. All right, so let's just go through it again. Planning is who again?
Patty.
Okay, Patty's planning. Implementation?
Me.
Okay. And then brand is Kelly.
Yep.
Marketing is who?
Patty.
Okay. And then leadership is who?
Me, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's fine. Now, you're in charge of those things. That doesn't mean you do them all. Everybody does planning. Maybe not everybody, but you have your clients. You do it. The idea is to do Supernova with each one of these topics, okay, each one of these parts of the practice. So when you look at implementation, you don't want to have 350 different mutual funds. You want to bring that down so you have a 80-20. You know, these are the people that really get our performance. They're the best. These are the people we want to use. So you make your matrix up. And then for somebody to break into that matrix, they have to be very, very good. All right. And in terms of planning, it's just creating a process that you're going to use uniformly throughout the practice. You're not doing one kind of planning for one FA and a different kind of planning for another FA. Everybody does the same planning process. It's uniform for everybody. The implementation process is uniform. The service model is uniform. That's Supernova. Your operations is consistent and uniform. Your marketing is consistent. You do it every week. And then leadership just makes sure that everybody is on track to do their part. And the leader does the personal development and creating the vision and the communications. So it's pretty straightforward. It'd be like any business that you were running. You got to have roles and responsibilities, and then you got to know what those roles are and have them written out. And then you want to be cross-trained on pretty much everything you can, so anybody can take on any of the other roles and feel pretty comfortable. Probably the one that's the most difficult to cross-train on would be the service process and operations and problem solutions. And that's difficult because every one of them is complicated, but, you know, most FAs aren't trained on the service side of things. So
is that the star we're calling it branding?
That's branding, right. Yeah, I put it under branding because it's much more than just service. It's creating a brand. And that person is in charge of maintaining the quality of the brand throughout the organization. So, yes, they're in charge of service and operations, but they're also responsible to make sure that there isn't anything or anybody that's minimizing the brand or hurting the brand. In terms for example, easy example is when you teach clients and you don't give them great service, that hurts the brand. You know, we have a saying that your brand isn't determined by your best client, but by your worst client. So although it seems as though it's reasonable and logical to keep some accounts that you don't give Supernova service to, it does, in the end, damage your brand. And so eventually we don't want anybody that we touch to have anything but Supernova service unless they're the children of our best clients. And then we give them 4-1. So we meet with them every year. We give them 3 other contacts. They get a great experience. They just aren't, we call them butlers. They're just not at the point where they need or want or the full 12-4-2.
So the other teams that are doing Supernova then Kelly is going to be our branding vice president as the cross-training. What have other teams done as to having Supernova cross-training to somebody in the office?
You mean another team or another CA or what?
Another TA. So if Kelly already has, for instance, a backup in the office to help when she's got a day off or something, we go to them for assistance. Would it be necessary to cross-train that backup person in some level of Supernova?
Yeah, you really, I mean, ideally you should always have two sales assistants, two people, because, you know, it becomes very challenging unless you do cross-train that other person. So, the ideal thing is we call it Stair Steps of the Stars, where you have teams with different minimums, but they all are giving the same client experience. So her backup, I mean, the ideal thing would be get her backup's team to also be doing Supernova so that they would know it and understand it and be able to help. And you'd help them. They may have a different minimum, so if you have somebody that walks in or is referred to that doesn't meet your minimum, then you simply refer them to that team and you know they're going to get Supernova service.
In a perfect world, Rob, that probably would be ideal. However, our backup is already a large producing individual who will continue his business his way. Supernova would not be a good fit for him. But his teammate is wonderful. She's intelligent. She's helpful. So we could show her a few of the Supernova things in case she needs to step in for Kelly.
I think that's great. She'll probably be very, she will be very jealous. She will want to do it. That's who really drives a lot of our, I mean, seriously, Supernova is driven probably 30% by the client associates and because they love it, because it changes their life and makes their life so much better. So, yeah, if you can do that, terrific.
Okay, anything else then about these vice presidents, this five-star service that each of us need to understand better, or is that pretty much outlined in the book?
It's really outlined in the workbook and on the video. I mean, I cover it pretty carefully, but there's something called the gap analysis, which is doing a gap analysis of the difference between where you are and where you want to be. And that becomes your job. So if you're good planners and you have planning down, you would be on a scale of 1 to 10, you might be at 8 or 9 in terms of your ability. And the question is, where are you in terms of having 100% of your clients with a plan? So you may be a 4 there, with being 40% of your clients have a plan, and your goal would be to get to 100%, and you may need to do that over a 24-month period. That would be the planner's business plan then. And then you weekly check in and tell everybody how you're doing on your plan versus your goal. Okay?
Okay, and that was the gap analysis on page 31 that you were referring to. Let's go through each of the roles as to the competence and execution and how each can perfect. Okay, I remember. Thanks, we'll do that.
Yeah, and then that way you know, that way people say, well, what do we do in our weekly, you know, meeting that we have? And I recommend them having probably the meetings on Thursday afternoon, because people tend to have the inconsistent on Friday meetings. So Thursday afternoon is a more consistent time to have it. And that would be your team meeting. And that's where you report in on your role and responsibilities to the team. And that's where we call that the scoreboard meeting. So we're keeping score as to how we're doing in each of the areas of responsibility. So if your goal is to go from 40% to 100%, and your goal is to have one plan done a week, you come in and let everybody know we're on track to go to get to 100% in 24 months, and we did our one plan this week. Okay? And that way everybody knows you're on track and you're doing great. Okay? So that's just a good example. And then you do the same thing with each of the roles and responsibilities. So everybody sets some, you know, pretty simple, straightforward goals and then hold themselves accountable to those goals. The Monday meeting, which we call the game board or the giving board, is about marketing. That's about sales and marketing. That's the whole meeting is about how are we doing in terms of activity. So, because, you know, getting organized is not just getting your team organized in roles and responsibilities, it's accountability. Because that's the biggest problem that teams have. Probably the single biggest problem. First of all, that teams don't tend to set goals. And if they do, they don't hold themselves accountable to those goals. Because they want to be nice to each other. But if a team is actually going to win, then you got to set goals and you got to hold yourselves accountable for those goals. And they got to be good goals. They got to be aggressive goals. So the Monday meeting is about activity because we know if you get the activity right, you're going to get the results. Without the activity, you'll never get the results. And people don't have enough activity. Okay, that's it. I mean, it's as simple as that. This is not complicated. Turning a team around from a moderate growth team to a fast growing team is as simple as doing just what I said. It's not any more complicated than that. I had a gal that I took on and she was new, you know, not new in the business, but she was stuck. And so we just went through simple. Figured it all out, did the analysis, consulted with her, and she had all kinds of issues, okay? But it came down to not enough activity. And so we set a simple goal of having 8 appointments a week. Okay, 8 appointments a week. And so she's doing that now. And guess what? She loves her job again. She's growing. And life is good.
So 8 appointments a week
or
8 prospects,
or
there's 8 total?
I'd like her to have 8 prospecting meetings a week, meaning it can be the first meeting, the second meeting, the third meeting, but it should be, it's all prospecting.
That's aggressive, but okay.
But she's new on it,
huh?
Yeah, it's aggressive, okay? But she had a small book to start with, and she wants to grow. And she was stuck. And I'm telling you, I've never coached anybody that is happier than this gal. And it's just because she got, you know, we went through why, you know, we did all the psychology parts of it, and I gave her some good ideas on how to get past the hesitation. It's all about fear, right? I mean, the reason we don't do these things is we say we're busy, but it's because we're afraid. It may not be a big afraid, it's a little afraid. And if we get past those little afraids, then we get to doing it. If we knew everybody would always say yes, you know, who would we call? Right? So the question is, why don't you call them? It's because you're afraid.
Either you're afraid or you're lazy.
I think it's more afraid than it is lazy. I don't think human condition is not lazy. We're pleasure seekers, no question, okay? But people see nice things and cars and houses and things, and they like them. So they would like those things, and if it wasn't that difficult to get them, they would get off the couch and get them. And it's the thing that keeps them on the couch is fear. They just, you know, when you come down to it, why don't you call everybody that you know has money? Well, because there's some fear associated with it. So she had plenty of people to call. That wasn't her issue. It was, she was afraid. And now she's not. So she's devoted to, she's a, yeah. Car?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said,
so. So she's devoted to, she sees the activity as, has become a ritual for her, just as brushing her teeth or working out or anything that she knows is good for her. They're getting those appointments has become a ritual to the point where she's comfortable and happy doing it and feels sad if she doesn't do it. The other thing she's doing is sending me an email every week with her homework and how she's doing, the status of all of her prospects and her homework. So she's really... I mean, I'm very, really pleased with her. I've got two clients that do that, and they're newer in the business, but they are, they're both, you know, people say you can't make it today on your own. There's an essay. You've got to be on a team, or you've got to do, it's just a crock, okay? You just need the activity. So when we get to the marketing side of things, which we pretty much cover every week a little bit, just engage in the activity and don't judge it in terms of, oh, that's a terrible idea, or that's a bad idea, or that's, I can't do that, or that's just your way of saying, you know, I'm afraid. You're not really saying it, you're saying I'm lazy, or I'm this, but you're not. It's more just some fear of the unknown and or fear of the activity. So, look, we're all the same way. We're all afraid of stuff, you know, or, you know, there's nothing wrong with being afraid. The key is figuring out, identifying it as being something that's real and then overcoming it. And making it into a game. So for those people, we turn it into a game. And then we have a game board. That's why we call it the game board. It's a game. And you give yourself credit for doing the activity. So she tells me how she does. I don't care how she does on these appointments, actually. I just want her to do them. But she's very good at what she does, so she's going to be successful. Her problem was just no activity, or very little activity.
Okay, well, we've been in the business long enough that we know that activity is certainly one of the reasons we're going to do Supernova, to organize our current book to give us a chance to be more active. Did you have a question?
Yeah. Well,
I'm pretty sure to help us with folders and getting our arms around how to get those done, and I think Cindy and overnighted to us a sample of the folder.
Sweet. Okay.
We haven't gotten
yet. Okay. Well, the folders are pretty simple, straightforward. You want them pretty much the same folder for you as for the client. And the idea is to just, look, you want it to be a working document. It doesn't have to be perfect. If they lose it, you send them another one. You know, it's not like a big leather-bound document they put on the shelf and they'll never write in it or anything. The idea is that these are working documents that they can use, that they see as a tool for them, a place to write things in, and a place to put the agenda, just so they stay organized. So it's for you to be organized and for them to be organized. So you really can't do it very wrong. I mean, you can pick and choose what you want to be in the folder. I don't like this, I do like that, etc. But, you know, there's a good reason for each thing that we put in there. And it's evolved over time. And some people prefer one thing over another. I mean, some people like a referral sheet in there and other people don't. I like it in there because it's a good way for you to remember who you've referred to the client and then who they've referred to you. Because otherwise, you'll forget. Okay? And so will they.
I like that page in the FA folder. I'm not crazy about that page being in the client folder because I don't want after a year then the whole get trouble that their page might be empty or something of that or. I think there's one more thing that could be a negative. And so I just don't see putting it in the client folder. I'd like to keep it more on the things I want to make sure that they're always focused on.
Yeah, I mean, that's personal preference. I like it in their folder, and the reason I like it in there is because I want them to remember that they've referred three people to me, and then I will, you know, and then I will remember that too, and I'll tell them how they're doing. I can't divulge, you know, classified information in terms of confidentiality, but I can tell them that they're very happy and it's working out, or it's not working out. Because it was the wrong person to introduce us to. They weren't a good fit. Okay? But that's, again, that's one of those examples of personal preference.
Understood.
Okay. Any other questions on the folder? There's something that we are going to develop, which I think should be in both folders, and that's the list of the client's enthusiastically endorsed advisors, okay? So it's really a list of everybody that they, well, in their case, it's all their advisors. You want to have all their advisors, but you also want to know, of those advisors, which ones do they enthusiastically endorse? And the reason you want to do that is because it will give you information that's critical for your networking. So let's use the example of their CPA, which is the first thing that comes to mind when it comes to introductions. If they like their, so you want to ask them, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? And they'll say, oh yeah, he's fabulous. Okay, who is he? What's his phone number, etc. Okay, and would you be comfortable if we introduced ourselves? And they say, sure, yeah, go ahead and call him. Tell him I call. Okay, so now you've got an enthusiastically endorsed CPA. As you go through and you have a network of people, that name may come up again. It may come up again and again. And so now you've got somebody that is really enthusiastically endorsed by a number of your clients. And so when you call that CPA and ask for a lunch or a meeting, you've got a nice conversation and very flattering that you've been enthusiastically endorsed by a number of our clients, and we think it would be in both of our best interests to meet, and we look forward to it. Can we buy lunch? And yeah, sure. Okay.
Bob, is that already in the folder? I think I saw something like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's already. Okay.
So that's part of our, you know, you don't automatically, because you do Supernova, get introductions. Okay? You'll get a couple more than you would have gotten. But you've got to train your clients. Just like we're training you, you've got to train them. And what do I mean by that? But you've got to ask them these questions. You've got to ask them, can you enthusiastically endorse it? You know, one of the most important things to your clients, average age 65, 70, 75, are their healthcare providers. Okay, we typically don't get involved in that. But in Florida, with older people, this is really important stuff. And you need to know these things. So you want to ask them, you know, can you enthusiastically endorse your cardiologist. You know, we mentioned that we talked about the fact that you've had some challenges, and do you like him? Can you enthusiastically endorse him? Yes. Okay, who is he? Tell me about him. Because we're always looking to introduce others to people that are top of the line, the best of the best. So you eventually build, we call this golden Rolodex, of enthusiastically endorsed and trusted advisors. Now, you can make this informal, or you can make it formal. You can actually bring these people together, the ones that have been enthusiastically endorsed. It's a wonderful idea to meet them, recognize them. You could do it as a holiday party. You could do it as just a couple months a year, or maybe twice a year you get together with them. They get to know each other, and they then can network with each other. Doctors are particularly brilliant at referring to each other. So are dentists. They're brilliant at it. So they're not unfamiliar with this kind of thinking and work. But, you know, you have your traditional CPAs and attorneys and business brokers and commercial realtors and residential realtors and all those folks. It's critical that you know who are the best in your community and that you have a relationship with them. And hopefully a really good one. Because as we move up the food chain, we want the best. Because people with money demand the best. So just imagine, you know, I may be moving to Nashville, right? I live in Indianapolis, but I'm moving to Nashville. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, I got to move to Nashville? How am I going to find all the, particularly in the healthcare world, Vanderbilt has got a great healthcare system there, but how do I know who's the best at the things that are important to me? You know, who's the best cardiologist, who's the best oncologist, who's the best this and that. So, how do I find those things out? Well, I'll call people, but that means I have to kind of start over compared to Indianapolis where I know everybody. So it's a very uncomfortable feeling when you move into a new community, having to get new advisors, new people. So if you could have that for, let's say the new CEO moves in, right? I bike with a guy who is the CEO of U.S. Gypsum. He's thinking about moving down to Boca Raton here. Okay? So, I mean, he doesn't know anything, right? So if I gave him a list of enthusiastically endorsed professionals in this community and he needed one of them, that would be incredibly valuable to him. So think about how valuable that list would be to the new CEO moving into your community. And they're moving in every day, and they're not getting this. Nobody's giving it to them. So you could be providing a terrific service as well as become a trusted, valuable advisor. And when we use the term, enthusiastically endorsed and trusted advisor. Because think about it today, are all the advisors that you use trusted? And how do you know? you don't know until you know, right?
I think that this is the referrals. Could also be used as a center of influence, and even adding into the niche type of person that we're trying to wrap around as well, right? That we talked about in week 5 was more of that niche and DOI type of creation.
Absolutely, this is where they come from. This is exactly right. And then eventually, you build what we call a mastermind group of your most trusted advisors that want to work with you, and would be willing to meet with you on a monthly basis to talk about the business. So just think about, you guys are a team. You meet regularly. You talk. Why couldn't you put the team together of other professionals in the community and talk about their business and your business and how you can work together to make your businesses better? So I always ask people, how long do you expect to be in business in your community? So let me ask that question. How long do you expect to be in business in your community?
So is that a question for us?
Yeah.
I don't know. Stop breathing.
How many years?
Let's say 10 for our argument.
Okay. Well, 10's short. Most people are in business for 30 or 40 years, right? So, I always say, what if you made friends with a group of trusted advisors and met with them every month for 30 years? Okay, first of all, you wouldn't meet with them if you didn't like them and you weren't friends. So they're going to be your best friends, some of your best friends. You're going to introduce and share millions of dollars worth of business between yourselves. When you think about doing it for, I don't have time to do it. I'm too busy. So just think about what that 30-year relationship is worth. If he considered you the best in the world, and he would refer everybody to you, what that would be worth to you over your lifetime? And wouldn't it be worth it to put that group together now, even though it may take a while and be hard work to do initially? Maybe you don't have the right people perfectly in the beginning. But gradually, over time, you get the right group together. What would that group be worth to you? Is he worth millions and millions of dollars? And that's the way to look at it. Okay. So when I say build a mastermind group, everybody goes, oh, it's so hard work and it's so difficult. Nobody wants to do it. And I go, yeah, you got to find the right people. I mean, how hard was it to put your team together? How hard is it to keep your team together? It's like a marriage. These things aren't easy. But if you can keep them together for 30 or 40 years, you've got something really precious. Okay? So that's, I mean, look, guys, it's very simple. I don't teach anything that doesn't work. Okay? Why would I do that? The only thing I teach is stuff that works. It may not work for you, but it has worked dramatically for other people. And that's why I teach it. Okay, so the Center of Influence works tremendously. You don't need many. In the end, I'm asking you to have 6 of them that you meet with monthly. But if you had 2 that you met with monthly that were really good, that's all you'd ever need in your whole life.
Okay.
So there's no magic here. I mean, you're going to build a better business than anybody else has. Okay, that's the start. You're not going to be, have a better elevator speech, because this isn't about elevator speeches. This is about actually doing it. You're actually going to have a better business than anybody else. It's going to be better in every way than anybody else. And then you're going to be really proud of it, and then you're going to be happy telling people about it. And then you're going to build relationships that are built on you helping them, giving to them, and making their lives better. And then they're going to help you make your life better. No shortcuts. This is not magic. It's hard work, but it works. But this is how the best people in the industry do it. But they don't have all the answers. because we haven't coached thousands of people. We've been blessed to coach thousands of people, so we have a lot of the answers, which just makes it kind of super fun to do. So that's all I do is share the best answers, and hopefully you guys are ambitious and enthusiastic and want to do it. So you just, you know, read it, learn it, do it, try it, have the courage to do it, block out fear, and you'll be very successful. It'll be amazing. You'll be shocked at how well it works.
We're looking very forward to that. And I think, in other words, in week 5, that we're pretty on target. We're pretty up to date with the ought to be. We've been talking to some clients. We need to talk to a few more. So that's our privacy market really gave us a little business week as to having those conversations. It was more important to talk about the market with clients than it was about this. And
yeah.
And folders, we're going to get on that. So it looks like we're right on target.
Okay. What percentage of your clients have you talked about the program?
Not many for me.
I have with not enough, let's just read it, I don't know what percentage, but we're starting a little list, and we've at least identified 50 clients that are going to be our definite supernova, and we started a checklist that that's part of the talk with them, make sure they have a folder, and starting that whole... Now that we have the down and the scheduling idea down, now I'm comfortable with telling a client, you're on board my first class airplane and here's how it's going to go.
Okay, so you're set now. So just set a goal, whatever you think is reasonable, do one a day, minimum one a day. If you can do two a day, great, but do one a day and just start knocking them up.
Yep.
Okay?
That's a good idea.
So that'll be your homework. One a day.
Sounds good.
All right, guys. Okay.
Thank you, Rob.
Okay.
Thanks, Rob.
Talk to you next week. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.